through the door. I am the door. I am the way to the Father, says the Lord. I have given you a way to come in. Make room in your hearts for me. Make room in your mind for me. Make room in your life for me. Make room in your daily routine for me. Put me first, and I will satisfy your thirst. Put me last, and I will cast you off. But be glad. Drink in my goodness. Take hold of my joy, and it'll lift you up high above the earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's going to be for the building. We're gonna spruce up this place and get ready for the next phase. Amen. Because whether some of you don't know it or not, there's already plans when they built this building to build a sanctuary. There's already plans for 150 parking spaces. Amen. And I am not limiting God one bit. Amen. We can just infiltrate all of Palmyra. All right. So in your giving this year, all right, maybe once a month we will take a special building fund offering, and that'll be simply, it'll go towards the building for this one and the next one. Amen. And I commit to you as a leader that we will not borrow a dime. Amen. We will do as the Lord provides. And when we combine faith together, how many things are possible to them that believe? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So good things. You're in a good place this year. And you're going to have good encouragement to encourage others to be part of this too. Amen. All right. Do we have some awesome key word this morning? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read verse 18. And I just want to say that for those people who believe in God, there is no substitute for attending church. Amen? There is no substitute. Okay? I'm going to talk about God's prevailing church. And God is pleased when His children assemble together. You know, we're like the Avengers against the devil, right? And we assemble together to worship Him, to be taught by Him, and to be touched by Him. You know, God can touch you individually, but there's a different touch that occurs when we come together. There is a corporate anointing. Yes, the anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens, and the anointing can come on you as an individual, but there's a special anointing when we come together. And, you know, this is where we get to love one another. This is where we get to practice our Christianity. Amen? This is a safe place, and when a person comes to Jesus Christ, they become part of a church universal. Then you get put in a local body like this, okay? And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus made a statement And he said, I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to read that to you from the Amplified. All right? The Amplified says, I tell you, you are Peter, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar. Okay? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. I want to tell you today that the only institution that can withstand the gates of hell is the church of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice something in that verse. Whose church is it? It is the Lord's church. He is the one who builds it. And it is a family-owned business. That means he requires every family member to be an investor. And I'll tell you what, there's never been a stock greater than the stock in the Lord's church. It's never had a downtime. What was that period of time called when the stocks were really low? Depression, yes, yes, thank you. The church is not a place of depression. Jesus was talking to Peter. Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And Jesus told him, he said, I'm building my church. I'm not building man's church. I'm not building the world's church. I'm not building a church sponsored by the government. He said, I am personally taking the ownership of building my church. He is a builder. Jesus is building his church. This word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It means a calling out. It means to a popular meeting. It means a religious congregation or a Jewish synagogue or a Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both. Did you know that God populates his church? We got relatives in heaven and we got relatives on earth. Amen? And this body, VCF, we are a local body as part of the universal church where Jesus is the head. Okay? Now, if you're going to build something, you're going to have a vested interest in its success. Right? If you're endeavoring to build anything, you want it to be a success. You want it to be profitable. You want it to expand. You want to leave your mark. Jesus is leaving his mark called his church. So this morning, we're going to talk about God's prevailing church. Not ailing church, but prevailing church. Say, I'm part of a church that's prevailing. That means you get victory, you overcome, you face challenges, and you win. We sang about being winners today. Are you a winner? Yes, you're on the winning team. And you were not picked last. Hallelujah. This word ecclesia is very similar to when Congress meets. They assemble in the Capitol. And whatever they do, they do. Right? But they're called an assembly. And there are times when they get called together. Okay? So this month, we're going to dig deep into what the church is, what God's design is for the church. Amen? A church is the public earthly institution that would mark a Christian out, affirm and oversee those who profess to believe in Christ. Here are some quotes about the church. Billy Sunday, famous baseball player turned preacher back early on in history, he said, "The church is not a dormitory for sleepers. It is an institution for workers. It is not a rest camp. It is a frontline trench." It is a frontline trench. John Fox said this. He wrote Fox's Book of Martyrs. He said, "Princes, kings, and other rulers of the world have used all their strength and cunning against the church, yet it continues to endure and hold its own." You know, I wonder if you were to calculate how much property churches owned across the globe, I wonder how many acres that would be if we combined. It would be something interesting. I mean, there's a church pretty much in every city, every state, every country, every continent. Amen? D.L. Moody said this, "Church attendance is vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood is to a sick man." I like this one. They say don't ride in cars because they're responsible for 20% of fatal accidents. Don't stay at home because 17% of all accidents occur at home. Don't walk in the streets or pavements. 14% of accidents occur on pedestrians. I know, I was one of them in 2008. Don't travel by air, rail, or water. 16% of accidents happen there. Only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services in church. And these are usually related to previous physical disorders. Hence, the safest place for you to be at any time is the church. I like that. Robert Short said this. He said, "The church is the great lost and found department." Do you realize that the local church, there were no local churches built until the 3rd century, and no word was coined to refer to one? So, when the church started, they didn't have buildings. That's why they often met in homes or wherever they could. The building is not the church. This building is not the church. It's a word called metonymy. Metonymy. It's the container put for the contents. Okay? So we call this the church, but really this contains the church. The building that we're in right now, it's the container of the church. The local church is composed of Christian believers identified with and constituted a body worshiping in one locality. One locality. All right? Members of a local church make up the church even when they're not assembled. All faithful believers are to be identified with a local church where they assemble to worship, fellowship, and serve with some regularity. Everybody say regularity. Christians cannot properly be believers in isolation. The Bible says no man is an island to himself. Along with being believers, they are disciples, brethren, and members of a body. We're going to identify some names of the church maybe next week. It is the sacred duty of the believer, whenever lies within his power, to identify himself with and labor most earnestly for the building of God's kingdom with the visible church of Christ upon the earth. All right? So why should I attend church? How many's ever asked that question? Or how many was ever asked that question? Right? You're telling people, why should I attend church? Well, attending church pleases God. Everybody say it pleases God. I didn't come up with the church. The Apostle Paul didn't come up with the church. Jesus came up with the church. This is a God idea. This is a God institution. This is a God creation. Being faithful, a faithful part of a church, is necessary for a believer's well-being. You know, if we were to miss 50 days of school, would there be a graduation possible? No? Right? Well, only by the grace of God, right? Yeah. We know someone that has done that. Now, thank God for radio, TV, and other forms of media. When you can't come to church, they're available. Amen? So, but being lazy, seeking entertainment, or other amusements are not good excuses for choosing not to come. Now you're telling on them, Pastor. That's all right. We will pass out Band-Aids after the service. There are good reasons for missing church, and there are also not good reasons for missing church. Amen? All right. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Are we having fun yet? If you see someone squirming in their seat, just pray for them. Just pray for them. Lord, touch them. So I'm going to give you some reasons why we should assemble together. All right? It's our expression of our love for God. It's a visible, tangible expression of our love and worship towards God. All right, Acts chapter 2, and let's go to verse 46. Well, we better back up to verse 41 and get the whole context here. We're going to read verses 41 to 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Can you imagine how long that baptismal service went? 3,000 people. You know, let's form an assembly line. Like a Christian washing machine. I'm just saying. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000. So now they have just gained 3,000 members without a building. There was no building at the time. There were synagogues, there was a temple, but there were no churches. What are you going to do with 3,000 people? And they continued steadfastly. Everybody say steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So they were fellowshipping, they were taught, they were breaking bread, and they were praying. Fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. I want you to notice, signs and wonders were done when they came together. When they came together, God was able to multiply his power. Okay? Fear came upon every soul. Verse 44, And all that believed were together and held all things common. They shared their shampoo. They shared their dishes. Amen? That's what they did. They shared. They did not take ownership of what was theirs. They said, if you have a need, use mine. They shared. They opened up themselves. Because really, did you know, in John 9, the man who was born blind, he got healed, right? His parents were afraid of confessing Christ because they'd get kicked out of the synagogue. So how many of these 3,000 people who just confessed Christ were getting kicked out of their synagogues? You know, we're going to show you the love. Bye-bye. There's no love there. Imagine how many people got kicked out. Probably some of their homes. Would you risk coming to Christ if you knew that was going to happen to you? These people didn't care. They were so touched by the power of God and the love of God and the Word of God, they didn't care. Listen, we got to have an attitude as the church that we're going to go with Jesus no matter what comes our way. Can you imagine Jesus going to the cross and he sees the cross and he says, I don't think so. That's too hard. Those nails are too sharp. That whip, it's got glass in it. Those soldiers, they just criticize me. I'm not going to go there. But that's sometimes the attitude that believers take in the things of God. Listen, God's given you faith. It can overcome any challenge, any difficulty. All right? Verse 45, and they sold possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Wow. Hey, you know, we don't need two cars. I'm going to sell this car and give you the money. Whew. That's awesome. Verse 46, and they continuing, how often? Oh boy. Did you know the early church met every day? Wow. With one accord, they agreed upon it. In the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. Well, they had to do it house to house because they had no buildings. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Everybody was focused on Jesus. Everybody was focused on His Word. Everybody was focused on His will. Praising God and having favor with who? All the people. And the Lord, what did He do? He was building His church. He added to His church daily such as should be saved. How does God build His church? He adds people to the congregation. He calls their name out of darkness. They come to Him. They receive Him as Lord and Savior, and He puts them in the church. That's how He builds His church. He's into adding to the church. He's into increasing the church. He's into building His church. It's His church. He is very concerned about the church. He is the CEO of the church and the chief financial officer. And the Holy Ghost is the vice president of counseling. Amen? Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Why should we assemble? Let's look at verse 11. It says, this was Ananias and Sapphira when they tried to lie to God. And a great fear came upon all the church. Everybody say the church. Is that in your Bible? Say church is a Bible term. It's true, it is. And upon as many as heard these things. Okay, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. The NIV says they all agreed to come together. They were all in common consent. Amen? No one forces you to come to church. The Lord doesn't even force you to come to church. But when you do, He has blessings in store for you. God is so good to His church that you don't ever want to miss. Amen? Did you know that even in the Old Testament, God had a plan of assembly? The church is God's assembly plant. It's where He puts broken people together. He puts broken lives together. And He makes you brand new. He takes all your old pieces, all your messed up pieces, all your rusted out parts, and He makes them new. Amen? I'm just going to list these to you. You don't have to turn there. But Genesis 28, verse 3. May God Almighty bless you and make you a fruitful and multiply you until you become a great assembly. That's in the Old Testament. He wanted His people, Israel, to become a great assembly. See, when you come to Christ, there is assembly required. You know, sometimes you buy a toy and it says no assembly required or some assembly required. Listen. When you come to Christ, there is assembly required by the Lord. All right? Numbers 10, verse 7. When the congregation is to be assembled, you shall blow the trumpets in short, sharp tones, but not the blast. God gives you an alarm saying it's assembly time. What was the alarm in the Old Testament? Trumpets. Anybody have an alarm clock that sounds like a trumpet? Boy, that'll get you up, won't it? I'll never forget one of my friends of mine when I lived in Tennessee. He always had trouble getting up, and that man set three alarm clocks, and one was so loud that I slept over the house one day. I was across the hall, and I heard that thing, and he's in there. That's blaring. You know, one time I came across an alarm clock, and it looked like dynamite, and the alarm clock said, you have 10 seconds to get up, and it would go 10, 9, 8, and then it would sound like an explosion, go pow. I thought, that is a cool alarm clock. Deuteronomy 5:22. The words of the Lord spoke to all your assembly on the mountain. You know, I got to preach in Kenya at a church that met underneath a tree. They were planning on building a building, but they hadn't got a building yet. But we met, there's 100 people that showed up in the middle of nowhere. It took us an hour just to get there. The roads were so bad. And people showed up underneath a tree. It was awesome. We had a great time. People got delivered that day. Deuteronomy 31, verse 30. Moses spoke in the hearing of all the congregation of Israel. Assembly. Congregate. Right? Joshua 8, 35. There was not a word that of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. Think about this now. Their church service consisted of Joshua reading Genesis, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the first five books of the Bible. I don't even know if I said them in the right order. It doesn't matter. You know what they are, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the law of Moses. Joshua read that before the congregation. Can you say amen? So there's reading of the word when you come together. All right? First Kings, verse 8, 5. King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled before him. This is in the Old Testament. God meant for us to assemble together. Amen? Ezra 10, 1. While Ezra prayed and made confession, weeping, casting himself down before the house of God, there gathered to him out of Israel every great assembly of men, women, and children, and the people wept bitterly. They had a coming to Jesus meeting that day, right? They were weeping over their sin. Men, women, and children came together. Amen? So, God has always wanted us to assemble. All right? Attending church is where we can bring to the Lord offering of praise, thanks, and honor. Go with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You are the church. You ought to get excited about having information about the church. Amen? I'm talking about all of us today. I have been called to the distinct privilege of having the opportunity to preach God's word to such a great and awesome people. I get excited about God's word. I get so excited that spit happens. One time when I was preaching in Gettysburg, years ago, a friend of mine and I, we came to Pennsylvania from Illinois. We actually stayed at Fiona's parents' house before we were even together. And we ministered to different, we spent about 3 weeks here in Pennsylvania, ministered to different churches that knew her parents. And when I was preaching in Gettysburg, I was really going at it. And my friend said, "I'm going to get you a shirt, Doug, that says spit happens." Well, maybe if Pastor Doug would spit less, the front rows would be populated more. I don't know. That's why I'm making sure that I have a hanky up here every time now. All right. So you find Psalm 22 yet? Psalm 22 and verse 22. "I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of" where? "The congregation, and I will praise you." So we come together as a church to give praise to God. That is part of coming together. It's why we do what we do. Amen? It's not all the reason, but this is why we assemble. We can praise God with one another. Man, I tell you what, it's something when all the voices together sound as one. You know, when all the voices sounded together, there was 120 priests back when they built the temple in Solomon's day. 120 priests and singers, and they all sounded as one. The glory of God came down, and the priests couldn't even stand to minister. That's power. There's power when we come together. Look at your neighbor and say, "There's power because you're here next to me." Amen. One can put 1,000 to flight, right? But what happens when you get two? Two can put what? 10,000 to flight. See, already now our numbers are multiplied. Our results are multiplied when we come together. All right? Look at verse 25. "My praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him." You know, Jesus said, people will know you're a Christian for your love for who? One another. If you're not in a place where you can love on someone else and someone else can love on you, you're missing God's will. Jesus said that. The Lord of the church, the head of the church, the supreme authority. Those are his words. All right, go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Are we having fun yet? This is an encouraging message. This is not a point out this or that. This is to encourage us to do better. Amen? I want to see great things happen right here in this region. But it's going to take us working together. It's going to take us coming together. It's going to take us investing together. Amen? I mean, you could buy a pack of gum with a dollar, but if you get 100 people giving you a dollar, you can do a whole lot more. Amen? That's right. It's a lot of gum. more than you can ask or think. Psalm 40, verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Hallelujah. You can preach righteousness when we come together. There is preaching, encouraging, proclaiming when we come together. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, you know. Listen, when I preach a message here, I give you the best that I have. Amen. I don't hold back. I give it all to you. You know, one farmer, there was a pastor in a small country church, and there was a snowstorm, blizzard. And they had service that night, and only one farmer showed up for church. So the preacher said, hey, one person showed up, I'm going to give them all that I got. And so he preached his message, you know, waved his arms. And at the end, when the service was done, he asked the farmer, he said, how was that? He said, preacher, he said, when I go to the field and only one cow comes, I don't give him the whole load. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And let's look at verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. For some people, joy is a sacrifice. Joy should not be a sacrifice. It should be a free, flowing stream. But for some people, you got to jumpstart them. Amen? You got to baptize them in something other than lemon juice. But another translation says, at his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. That's the NIV. Amen? Hallelujah. You can shout in church. It's not a shout of defeat. It's not a shout of, oh my, it's a shout of joy. Hallelujah. Can you shout for joy? You certainly can. I didn't know that joy would come from shouting. Try it sometime and see what happens. You can shout for joy. Do you have something to shout about? Hallelujah. All right, number three. Glory to God. The primary purpose for gathering is to bless the Lord. Whose church is it? The Lord's church. Say, this is the Lord's church. You know, I was asked by some kids one time, they said, who owns this church? I said, the Lord does. Amen? Yeah, we are our own 501c3 nonprofit organization. Amen? And the church was like that before I got here. And I'm just carrying on what was established. But we come together to bless the Lord. Go to Psalm 134. Psalm 134. I tell you, those psalmists had some insight about coming together and offering things to God. Amen? Psalm 134. We come together to bless the Lord. Look at verse 2. Well, there's only three verses there. Amen? Let's just read all three. Some people want to do verse memorization. Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, by the way. Okay, Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord. How many? All you servants of... So everybody, when we come together, should be blessing the Lord. In other words, when there's a blessing of the Lord going on, you shouldn't be silent. I'm blessing the Lord with my mind. No, you're not. Get it out of your mouth. Open up the gates. Amen? The only person who appreciates silent prayer is the devil. Preacher said, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer. And the devil said, amen. Some of you will get that later. All you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. They're standing in the house of the Lord too. I mean, when I went to Catholic Church, I stood, I kneeled, you know. I did the sign of the cross. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. All right? Let's have a practice here. Everybody got your hands ready? Lift them up like this. Say, praise you, Lord Jesus. Doesn't that feel good? I bet you do it when your team scores a touchdown. Yeah! Well, Jesus scored a touchdown, didn't he? Every day. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless out of Zion. So when we come together as a body, we are to bless the Lord. In Ezra 8:6, you don't have to turn there, but I'm sorry, Nehemiah 8:6. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. The people answered, amen, amen, while lifting their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. That's a responsorial psalm in Nehemiah. He said something, they said, amen, amen, all right? When you say amen, what does it mean? It means so be it. So when the preacher makes a good point and you say amen, you're saying so be it, right? It's not just a response, but you're agreeing with what's being said. You've got to get impregnated with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 29, verse 9. Psalm 29. This is powerful. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. That's, he's talking about deer, and discovers the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. So it's good to say glory in church. Can we do it? One, two, three. Glory! Oh, that sounds powerful. I'm telling you, darkness is shaking in Palmyra now. You know, the enemy fights you the hardest in making church a priority in your life. Why? Why would the enemy fight so hard for that? Because he doesn't want you to get what's going on there. Amen? Now, true, there are dead churches. And for every dead church, there can be a resurrection. Amen? I would not label this place as a dead church. Because there are people who are alive and excited about the things of God. All right? The Lord is deserving of our time, energy, and support to honor Him with our service and devotion. If there's any worthy cause, it is the Lord's cause. If there's anything worth investing extra time in, it's what the Lord is doing. Amen? And quite frankly, there's no other institution on the planet that sends out missionaries other than the church. Amen? I mean, godfathers and gangsters don't send out missionaries. Actors and artists don't send out missionaries. Amen? Nothing wrong with that, with actors or actresses, but they just don't do God's work. Education institutions don't send out missionaries. What organization on the planet sends out missionaries? The Church of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Church. Amen? Assembling together builds our spiritual strength. Okay? When we receive preaching and teaching of the Word, it increases our faith. Faith comes by what? And hearing what? When you come here, do you hear the Word? So then your faith is being built up. It's increased. You're being strengthened. We don't want weak believers. It's part of our proclamation that we make. It's part of our confession. We want to build a strong body of believers. How do we do that? You get the Word in them and you let the Spirit of God move. Two simple things. Get the Word in them and let the Spirit of God move. The Spirit of God is like the icing on the cake. I mean, I love the Spirit of God. Thank God that God gave us the Spirit of God. He said, look, if I don't go, he can't come to you. Jesus' greatest gift to the church was the Holy Spirit. God's greatest gift to the world was Jesus. And we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to cooperate with him. We are not designed to live by miracles. The Israelites proved that. They saw miracles every day. Walking through the Red Sea, fire of pillar, pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, getting water from a rock, shoes not wearing out, clothes not wearing out, being delivered from venomous snakes, you know, getting fresh bread every day, getting quail flying in this high. You don't even have to use a gun, just use a baseball bat. But yet, those people who saw miracles every day, there was a lot of them that didn't believe God. We're not designed to live by miracles. Miracles are great. I'm all for miracles, but you can't live by them. Well, if you can't live by miracles, then you got to live by faith, right? The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? You allow the Word of God to govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions every day. I don't know how I got into all that, but... see, if you want to overcome challenges, you've got to be nourished. Amen? You can't have weak faith and overcome the devil. There were a lot of people in the Bible, even that followed Jesus, that had weak faith. They couldn't rebuke a storm. Oh, ye of little faith. Couldn't walk on water. Why did you doubt? We were discussing this morning. Pastor Phil brought to my attention. Every time the Lord corrected his people, it was about their faith. Why is it that you don't have faith? Because you're not feeding it. People who have weak faith have not spent time feeding their faith. And then when challenges come, you'd be like, here's the challenge. You'd be like, you know. You won't be able to stand against it. But then there were people who had strong faith. They put their trust in whatever God said. Roman centurion, whatever you say is going to happen. Oh, Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. He wasn't even a Hebrew. He was a Roman soldier. He exercised more faith than everybody in Israel. It was a high degree of faith. The Syrophoenician woman, she just refused to quit. You're a dog. I'm not going to talk to you. You're of the wrong race. I only give it to dogs. She hung in there. She went from zero to great faith in 60 seconds. You got to be nourished. All right? Number five, why do we assemble together? I'm giving you reasons. Assembling together brings a special visitation of the Lord's presence. God promises his presence where believers are. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus himself said, there I am. How many believe that God is here today? You know, he's here all the time. Because we have at least two coming in his name, amen? You know, I've been going to church ever since I can remember. I grew up going to church, even though the church that I went to when I was growing up, it didn't have the life of God in it. Then I got born again. And man, I didn't have to be told there was a want-to that took place in my heart. When Jesus got a hold of me, There was a want to. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be a part. I didn't want to miss because I knew that God was doing something and I wanted to be there every time. Amen? And that's how we need to be. Now, I understand that there are things of life that come up. Okay? I'm not condemning you. But you know what? Sometimes we got to say, look, Jesus is more important than this. And he gives you a choice. He doesn't force you. Amen? And if he doesn't force you, I'm not going to force you. But sometimes I see people make choices, and I know that they're missing out on God's best. And, you know, you miss out. Right? God schedules his blessings at the place of obedience. If he says be there at 2 o'clock, don't show up at 3:30 and expect his blessing, because his blessing was there at 2 o'clock. Amen? God told Elijah, go to the brook, Cherith, and there you're going to get water and Burger King. Right? Meat and bread in the morning, meat and bread in the evening. Who's going to feed you? Ravens. Who wants to be fed by an unclean bird? Doesn't matter. If God said ravens are going to feed you, you just, oh, ravens, thank you so much for showing up. Right? Then the brook dries up. Well, God, what are you saying? I'm saying the brook's not your source. Now I want you to go to a widow. Why can't you send me to a king? Doesn't matter. You do what God says. See, in your mind, you try to reason out. I think a lot of people try to justify themselves in the decisions that they make. We do too. Everybody does. Amen? But it brings the Lord's presence. Go to John 20. John chapter 20 and 26. See, this is the first Sunday of 2018. I'm having a good time. We had a great time on the last Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Or the last Sunday, I should say, too. That was good, too. John 20 and 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were where? They were within. They were together. And Thomas was with them. Then, everybody say then. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. When they gathered is when he showed up. The doors were shut. His presence just infiltrated. His presence just came in. Said, hello, peace be to you. Oh, did you see that? The door was shut. I made sure I locked it. He just came in. He came in when they were gathered together. When you come to BCF, expect God to come in. Expect his presence. Your expectation is his invitation. Amen? You come to church not to get something, but to give something to him. And then, see, I heard a preacher this morning when he was talking about when Naomi instructed Ruth. He said, you contact Boaz after he ate and after he drank. And he said, when you come to Jesus, you got to give him praise first before you get anything. He's got to eat first. Then you can come in contact with him. What does he eat? He eats your praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. When you come ready to praise God, ready to bless his name, ready to honor him, and his presence comes in a most awesome way. He's got to eat first. I thought that's so good. That's so good. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all doing okay? If not, prayer is coming soon. Hallelujah. Verse 4. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking to deliver such a one to Satan. But I want you to see that gathered together and his spirit with the power. Do you remember in Luke chapter 5? You may not remember, but in Luke chapter 5, the Bible said that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But out of the them, there was only one that got healed, the man who was lowered from the roof by his friends, because Jesus saw their faith. But yet, the presence of the Lord was to heal them. Whoever was in that meeting could have gotten healed. The power was there. But in order to get the power that's there in you, you've got to have faith. You've got to believe. You've got to take action. That's how you tap into it. That's how you plug into it. Amen? It takes no faith to please your flesh. None. It requires no faith. But to please your spirit, sometimes you got to overcome your flesh. Amen? Jesus is in our spirits. We got to be spirit ruled. See, in the atmosphere, he manifests his spiritual gifts to his people to communicate. We see that every Sunday, every Wednesday. There's a spiritual gift that God manifests. I never know who's going to give the tongue. I just know that I'm going to interpret. And there's been a lot of different people that give the tongue. I just give the interpretation. Amen? But that happens every Sunday. And it's something that God is speaking to us as a body. It's a right now word from God. Amen? All right, let's wrap this up here. Even though Jesus resides in the heart of every believer, he honors the gathering of believers. And he comes in with power, awareness, and anointing. You know, when Peter was in prison, the church came together and prayed. And there was so much power in that prayer that he was delivered from prison without the doors being opened. An angel had to wake him up. Peter, wake up! You know you're trusting God when you are asleep in the prison. Amen? And the angel just let him out. And when they got to the main gate, it just opened by itself. But it was the coming together of the church in prayer that made that power possible. If the church didn't come together and pray, Peter still would have been in that prison. Because Herod had killed James with the sword, and he saw that it pleased the people, so that's when he put Peter in prison. He was ready for the next one. But thank God the church came together. Amen? The church coming together made the difference. And guess what? God wants to make a difference. You want to see this city change? Come together. Pray. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Come together when it's not convenient. Oh. You know, there are two things in the American church that really mess us up: comfort and convenience. Sorry, it's just not convenient for me right now. Well, there's going to be a time when it will. Sometimes you've got to be inconvenienced. Amen? All right. Let me stop at, I'll just give you a number six here. Assembling together gives you the opportunity to fellowship with people of like precious faith. Did you know that it's great that people can watch the message via social media, but they miss out on the fellowship? Fellowship is just as important. You know, iron sharpens what? Iron. As one man sharpens another man. Fellowship is important. You know, woven, you ladies. You need to come together and come to Woven. Youth, You need to come together for Air Force. Men, you need to come to Barnabas Group. Y'all, men, there's a lot of men that have been slacking in that area. Let me tell you that. I'll give you a little swift kick in the cans. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Moving right along. Did you know that a right relationship with God requires an outlet for you to do it before people? Jesus is in the people business. He brings people together. He fills them with his life. He gives them his spirit. And we get the privilege of showing everybody. You can come to church, it's like spiritual show and tell. Look at what God gave me. Look at what God did for me. And when you share it with someone else, they get excited. Oh, that's so awesome. Praise God. Isn't it great to be able to share that with people? I mean, we share our restaurants, don't we? The restaurants that we like? The music that we like? Right? The places that we like and have a good experience? We share that, don't we? Well, why not share our spiritual life with other believers? I want to see if you're really a Christian. How you treat people is how you treat God. Y'all are quiet today. You can't be a believer and hate people. Because faith works by love. If you're not loving on people, then I doubt if you really have strong faith at all. Amen? You can't be part of God's church and hate people. Two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your... And love your neighbor as what? As yourself. Well, maybe you don't love yourself. Well, then come and listen to Pastor Doug, and you can learn how to love yourself. Amen? When you get the word inside you, you begin to love yourself. When you begin to see yourself as Christ made you, as Christ created you, you begin to love yourself. And you override the lies of the enemy that were told you by liars, agents of darkness. They told you those things to keep you bound, to keep you down, to restrict you. But God wants to free you. You can overcome lies by the enemy. 1 John 2, 9 through 11 says, hatred towards one another is darkness. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. So there's reasons why we need to assemble together. Hebrews 10, 25 and 26 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord's return. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then he goes on to say, but encourage one another. You have a license to encourage, maybe even instigate to good things. Right? He's really talking about a cattle prod. Woo! Woo! You know, they brand cattle with a cattle prod. They take a hot iron and they stick that thing on the cow's skin, right? And they brand it. Well, we've been branded by fire of God. We've been branded by the fire of the Lord. And we can encourage one another. That's what we need to do. When you don't see someone for weeks, find out how to get in touch with them and encourage them. Amen? I encourage people, but sometimes I don't know if they're out and about or what. You know, I give them a couple of weeks sometimes. And I call or do something. Send a little note. Amen? Why? I'm encouraging you. Because the Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because this is important. This is eternal. What you get here, you can't get anywhere else. Not. I'm not saying you can't get in other meetings or different things like that, but you can't get what you get here in the world. This is precious. This is valuable. This is important. This is what the Lord is doing now. Amen? He's building His church. He's building up His body. Amen? Jesus is a bodybuilder. His milk does the body good. Desire the sincere milk of the Word where you may grow thereby. God wants you to grow in the knowledge of Him. He wants you to grow in your ability to take ground and to occupy and to resist the devil. Amen? We all face the enemy. You go out, you leave these doors and you go into the workplace, or you go, sometimes it's even in home, you face enemies. Well, how are you going to overcome? Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Amen? You've got overcoming victorious faith in you. Glory to God. Church is important. You know? Gabriel's had the privilege of living his life in church from the time he was a baby. Miss Betty, you know, when we first started here, there was about 30 people. And, I mean, when we ask you to do something, we've done it. There's nothing in this church that Pastor Fiona and I have not done. I'm telling you, we've done it. Amen? And we'd be getting ready for the service. She'd be doing this, that. And Miss Betty, she'd be pushing Gabriel's stroller around this sanctuary every Sunday. She did that every Sunday. See, Gabriel has a drug problem. We drug him to church on Wednesday. We drug him to church on Sunday. I drag him to Bible. He's got a drug problem. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So since you're the church and God is here and He loves you, He called you out of darkness, He brought you into His kingdom and His light, and this is kingdom school. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, and when special meetings on Saturday meet, amen, on Tuesdays, amen, and this is kingdom school. This is where we come and learn about the kingdom of God. Jesus preached His kingdom, and His kingdom has ways of doing things that we're not using. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Amen? And God has something for you today. Amen? If you need healing in your body, I want you to come up front. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up front. If you need anything in your life, I want you to come up front as an act of faith, saying, God, I'm here to receive what You have for me. Amen? Did His word go forth today? So faith has come to your heart. Amen? Now, because you are part of a church, you have a right to receive. But you've got to come and get it. Right? Everything that God offers is a buffet line. He's already paid the bill. But you've got to get your plate. You got to get your fork, and you got to put your plate full of all that He offers. Amen? So if you need something from God today, make your way up front. And for those of you that are listening to us today, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this message. And I pray that you find a church that you can be part of. And if you can't make it physically, then you connect through this way. Connect however you can connect, so that you can receive what God has for you. And we just love you, appreciate you, God bless you. Amen? So you need something from God this morning. And before I pray for these people, many of you know Dr. Ron Charles. Him and Paula, they sold their home